Hi, everybody. If you often check out the video version of this podcast on Patreon, you will know that the extra content is usually in the front. And then after, usually like about half an hour or so, we cut into this version of the podcast, right? But this episode is a little different. The video extra content, the extra 20 minutes, I cut it into a different video and it is on the paywall now. So it's not available for free on Patreon just for this one because I talk about some sensitive issues that I think might not be pertinent, might not be smart to freely discuss for legal reasons. But I think it's important also to still put it up. So if you are already a supporter of Patreon, the cheapest one, you'll be able to go in and watch that video. Because I discuss my recent legal problems and how I am more optimistic about what's gonna happen. Which means if you're watching the video version of this episode on Patreon, it's the same content as the one you're listening to regular style right now. Like that. Okay? Okay. That's all. I think that's it. Yeah. Enjoy the episode. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mental Picture Podcast. The Mental Picture Podcast. The Mental Picture Podcast with me, Muzaka Zainal. Today I am alone. And that is what we're going to be talking about. Okay. Yes. I have been on hermit mode, or I've known to be on hermit mode whenever Ramadan comes around. And by hermit mode, it means I don't do any shows. I don't really go out to meet my friends unless it's for sahur. And in case y'all aren't aware of why that's like that, it's because I talked about this in other episodes of the podcast. I'll just do a quick thing about it. I prefer sahur hangouts rather than buku hangouts. It's not lost on me how funny it is that people who, on my timeline at least, the people who go to buka puasa events are people who tak puasa. The non-Muslims so excited about wearing baju Melayu and like showing up to buka puasa events. Of course you can stay there and hang out and have fun and take pictures because you're not going for tarawih. My personal point of view, because I've been to Middle Eastern countries that do it this way, and I used to be a tahfiz boy, and this is how the actual pattern, not the actual pattern, the pattern of behavior for Ramadan as it fits with the worship part is like this. Okay, so we have to I swear it's gonna be really quick. I know if you're not practicing Muslim, you don't care, but it's important to me. I'm just gonna quickly say this, okay? So there's two prayers that happen at nighttime. One is the dusk prayer and one is the night. So dusk is not technically night, you know what I mean? Like you can see is like the sky isn't quite dark yet, it's like sort of twilight color, so dusk, right? So dusk is when you can break your fast. And then there's also a prayer time. Okay, so when the call to prayer happens, you're supposed to pray dusk, and then the night prayer, there's another call to prayer. That's two different prayer times, right? And then in Ramadan, there's this bonus multiplier, special exclusive prayer you get unlocked in the Ramadan season, which is the Taraweeh. You do this, you get extra unlockables. You get buffs on your XP. You get more XP. It's a bonus time. It's like when you play Guitar Hero and then you tilt your guitar up. Yeah, that only happens in Ramadan. And this extra prayer is called the Taraweeh prayer. It's usually congregation prayer. You can pray yourself at home, but it's usually done in congregation. And then it is after the night prayer until late. Or technically 10:30, people will be done with it. So Taraweeh is the night prayer. and that dusk is the prayer time, which is also the breaking of the fast time, right? So between the dusk prayer time, which is Maghrib, and Isha, which is the, is it Isha or Isha? Isha is the, is very short. The time between dusk and night is like 1 hour, right? It's very short. So when I was in Tafiz, the way we would break fast is we pray Maghrib. No, we don't pray first. We break first, which is with the dates and the drink. That's it. Small plate. And then, yeah, it's just like a little snacky. So you break your fast and you go for your Maghrib prayer. And then after that prayer, you have 1 hour before Isha. And that 1 hour is all the time you have to get your food, sit down, eat just enough so that you're not sleepy for your night prayer and then onto the late nights. This 1 hour period is really all the time you have for buka puasa events, I mean. So for me, as a guy who goes hermit mode on Ramadan, who uses Ramadan to be introspective and to put a lot of my resources into my worship, it makes more sense to not rush to do that 1 hour of hanging out, because 1 hour isn't enough to hang out with your friends, is it? I mean, I make podcasts that's like an hour plus long, and it doesn't, when I record this, it's not 1 hour, it's longer. And that's me talking to myself. Imagine if there's friends here, it would take way more time, you know what I mean? So for me, whenever I go out and hang out with somebody and I say there's a dinner or whatever, I tend to imagine the hangout time will be long, because I if I like them, I would want to spend as much time I want with them, because eventually we will have to part ways. And that's how I view hangouts, dinner or lunch or whatever, right? And therefore, this is why I don't do buka puasa hangs, because one, the buka should be quick because I need to go pray immediately. And then after that dusk prayer, I have to like mentally prepare myself for the night prayer as well. I will not have time to focus on the conversation or the food or on anything. And because of that, I would prefer to hang out during sahur time. Sahur time is before dawn, which fits actually with, you know, the vampire level lifestyle that I live. It's like, hey, let's hang out. What time? 3 a.m. Yeah, let's go. And it's better for me, because then we can start at 2 a.m. We can eat until we get bored, and then no problem. Meanwhile, for buka, I feel like I'm rushed, so I don't do that. Why am I talking about this? Because, yeah, this is to say I only hang out in sahur time, and I don't hang out for buka puasa time. I think it's funny that almost every buka puasa thing that is a buka puasa hangout is non-Muslims, which I love, by the way. If you are non-Muslim and you go out and you celebrate buka puasa and you buka with your friends who are not practicing like me, you can practice however you like. You know, it's okay for you to take as long as you want for buka. You can buka from dusk until 9. I mean, you practice how you want to practice, right? And the most comfortable for you, what works for you. Remember, religion is, you shouldn't think of religion as what is correct to do, but rather what is helpful for you, right? Excuse me. So I like that in the cultural participation of it, people dress up and show up, and non-Muslims are like gung-ho about it, and are like, hey, let's do iftar together. I think it's cute. I like it. It's cool. It's not how I do things. And when I mentioned the Tafiz thing and the Middle Eastern thing, it is true that in Saudi and in other areas and in other Muslim majority places that are not here, Muslim majority, like 90% Muslim majority, where their problems are this person is Sunni and I'm Shia, instead of here where this person is Muslim and I'm not, that kind of conversation. Over on that side of the world, bazaars, Ramadan bazaars, start after the night prayer, so you don't you're not like buying food when you're hungry. I mean, you can still do that. But the celebration is after you pray. You finish praying everything and then you start your like quote unquote party, which is midnight until you eat until late, which is cool, I think. If you want to do your actual, you know, piglet indulgent mode, you want to go goblin during Ramadan, do it when it's night, when you're allowed to do whatever you want to do. Doing it in the daytime feels wrong, and it leads to bad things. And by which I mean, you know, you buy food at the Ramadan bazaar made by people who are fasting. People fasting making food, you sure you want to trust this guy? They can't eat the food. They can't taste it. You can't taste it. And you're not going to stay there and eat in front of them. They are going to close shop and they're going to break their fast at home. You're not going to buy it and then stare at them, eat it, and then go, oh, this is bad, and look at them. They're not going to, what? What are they going to do? Also, it's Ramadan. Everybody's going to be like, hey, man, it's Ramadan, bro. Can you just, you know, forgive me? Okay. There's possibly some observation I can make about how it's bad. Like, bazaar food is bad because the people making it can't taste it, and the person buying it can't taste it. You go home and you find out it's bad, and that's why in Raya everybody has to apologize to each other. Because, hey man, I'm sorry I screwed you over in the bazaar times. I'm so sorry. Anyway, here's Almond London. All right. So yeah. So because I like to go hermit mode, I think about being alone quite a bit. And especially recently, because I now can think about what I am thinking about, or rather, I'm allowed now to follow my train of thought freely, because I have, by the time you listen to this, I've already recorded a separate Patreon episode of this podcast where I only talk about my legal troubles. I have to lock in Patreon, I'm so sorry, because it is not, strictly speaking, I'm legally advised not to talk about it in public. That's why I have to hide it in a paywall, so it's kind of private, you know, not everybody's supposed to be. I'm not airing out anything, and legally I'm covered. So, and if you really want to listen to me talk about my legal troubles, go over on Patreon, it's $5. Anyway, because of that, because I've freed myself from having to lock into talking about letters and numbers. I've also looked at the analytics, by the way. Y'all don't really enjoy those. Me reviewing letters and numbers is not what you come to my podcast for. And I understand that, because why would you? The people who message me telling me they like the podcast, and it's not because I review stuff. It's my takes on things and how I get this quite a bit, and I feel weird about it, which is people say they learn stuff when they listen to this podcast, and you know, you understand why that's a cause of concern, right? You shouldn't learn anything from this, but you do, and so okay. So yes, me being alone, or rather hermit mode, which is excuse me, hermit mode, I will describe it as being let's just do living by yourself, living excuse me, living alone, the pros and cons of being a hermit. Okay, I like living by myself, but I encounter a lot of pros and cons, of course. The pros are great. The reason I like living by myself are the same reasons I enjoy independence when I first got it. The first chance that I was able to get a job, the first chance I could afford to live away from the family, I did it immediately. And I did not look back since. And these are the reasons. And I would like to say the pros and the cons immediately after each other. So like, because the pro is also the con. Hidden in the pro is the con. You will find this true about everything in life, if you think about things properly. Like, the things you like about somebody is also the thing you hate about them. I'm not going to elaborate. I mean, you got to figure that out yourself. But maybe through me describing the pros and cons of being, of living alone, you'll be able to understand how to apply that sort of thinking into your everyday whatevers. Anyway, so one of the first pros of living alone is the freedom to do whatever and whenever I want. Of course, that's the first thing, right? Because it's like, when you're home, or rather me, I'm going to speak for myself, and I'm alone, you know, there's curfews, I'm asked to do a lot of things that I don't agree with or don't want to do, spend time with people I don't want to spend time with. Really, it's a very specific to me situation here for freedom. A lot of my friends argue the opposite. Like, I like doing things for my family, and I like having responsibility and structure in my life that's dictated by somebody else. I don't disagree with the stuff I'm told to do. So they are happy living with their parents. But for me, I don't. So I'm like, yes, I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want, buy the stuff I want, wear what I want, listen to whatever I want, play whatever media I want at whatever time I want. Freedom is great. Living alone is nice. But that freedom is also a con, because you get to do everything anytime you want, but that also means you have to do everything all the time. And that is a huge con. Meaning there's no dilution of responsibility. Okay, this week, can I just cook? Somebody else do the groceries? Somebody else do the cleaning? Nah, it doesn't work. You have to do the cleaning, the cooking, the eating, the everything. And you can't blame other people for things. That's the thing you miss when you live alone. Some weirdness happens in the house. Whose fault is it? You can't yell at anything. You just, oh, it's my fault. I did this. You're just living through your own consequences all the time. Like, whatever, if you're in a house by yourself and you're like, this is shitty, that you have built that environment for yourself. And that's both good and bad. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's the con of having to, getting to do whatever you want, whenever you want. You have to do them when you have the time to. And that's annoying. There's no dilution of responsibility. There's no splitting up chores. You have to do everything. Ugh. But also, you know, you're free to do it. Another pro is no shitty roommates. Ugh, man. Who's the guy? Sartre. Jean-Paul Sartre. He said, hell is other people. Dude, other people are the worst. Ugh, other people. I don't know if you... I ran into this thought recently. This is a bit of a tangent. I ran into this thought recently. We hear stories of kindness from strangers all the time. And I can very readily imagine, or rather remember, people who were kind to me in life. Like, when somebody goes, hey, this is a real thing that happened in my workplace. Somebody was upgrading my PC. That's their job. And they say, hey, you deserve a better PC than this. And it almost made me cry. I was like, man, I believe in humanity. The world isn't on fire necessarily. You know, some people are putting them out. And it is this person, this IT person who's fixing my computer because it's their job. It is very easy for me to wish them everything that is good in life. If I see a stranger helping a duckling across the street, I'm like, I wish all the good things in the world happened to this person. I wish them well here. I wish whatever belief system they have is true and rewarding and helpful for them. I wish nothing bad ever happens to them. And I believe them to be good people. And whatever happens, I want them to be safe and protected at all times. This is a stranger. But because they did that one thing and I saw them, I wish them the best. But if I know somebody in real life, if I know them in an intimate capacity, fuck these people. Like, the fuck is wrong with you? people I know who are super close to me and they do me favors or like they're super nice to me, I'm like, hey man, you know what's wrong with you? Everything. I don't know why it's so easy for me to be like, hey, well, I don't know if this is universal as a thing. Everybody close to me, like all of my siblings, ugh, they're all so annoying. All of my coworkers, come on guys, what are you doing? Why is everybody doing things this way? Everybody I've ever lived with in the same house, what is wrong with you? Go save a duckling somewhere that a kind stranger can look at you and wish you the best. Because I see you day to day, and you are the worst human being I've ever seen my entire life.
Oh god.
Okay, anyway. Shitty roommates or housemates, I don't have to deal with if I'm living by myself. Because, yeah, because other people are the worst. Here's how the worst other people are. Imagine you live with somebody, maybe you do, live with somebody for a long time now, and everything's fine. You compromise on your values, you do the same things together, you like each other, you even argue well, but they squeeze the toothpaste from the wrong part of the tube. That's not something to get angry about. Except, yes it is. You know what I mean? When they go in the house, which direction are the toes of the shoes pointing at? It's different from how you do yours, right? How come they're doing it that way? What the hell is that? That's nothing. That's not really an argument. You shouldn't really get upset at that. But yeah, you're gonna. That's the thing about other people. They're not you. And so they will always be a little bit... There's always be this discomfort of the otherness of other people. You have to do a lot of work of compromise, a lot of the work of acceptance to be able to be with some other person and allow for their jagged shapes and your jagged shapes to be ground down by each other to form a whole that is hopefully better. And risking, you know, a whole life sitting with a housemate that sucks, it can be hellish. A bad housemate can be enough reason for you to want to move out. I've done that a few times. So living alone means no shitty housemates. You accept yourself because you're you. You always have had to do that, you know? Now, this is also a bad thing because when you have no shitty roommates, guess what? You are the shitty roommate. You. When you don't have shitty housemates, you are the shitty housemate. Let me explain.
We are proud to interrupt this rambling nonsense to bring you an important message from our sponsors.
Hello, dear listener. Do you know about patreon.com/pinballmonkeys? I mean, you know about it. I talk about it every episode. But did you know that that's one of the only ways to support this podcast? This podcast costs resources, time and money, and also it costs a lot of energy. And as low as 5 ringgit a month, you can go over at Patreon and support this podcast. Just go to patreon.com/pinballmonkeys and do the little details over there. And as low as 5 ringgit a month, you get to enjoy video versions of this podcast, including extra content. You get to find out where Anwar has been hanging out, what he's been doing. You get to listen to cool audio sketches and behind the scenes content. And you can participate in a direct conversation about the future of Pinball Monkeys and the other projects that are related to Mental Pecah. So I think that's cool. You know, also you get to support art directly. Usually, you know, you give gigantic corporations this money, but why not support stuff directly? Support your local thing. Be part of the community. Thank you so much for the people who have already participated and pledged their hard-earned cash to this enterprise. These people are, of course, Aisha, Sarah Roger, Faza Fauzi, Arina, Amanda, Anwar, Nick Hanis, Daniel Imran, Alia, Sabrina, Mayamin, Safri, Zan Belik, Nick Dorville, Farid Zahir, Ilisar, Fairuz, Siti Fatima, and Lukman alias. If you want me to shout out your name in this ad break read thing, go over on Patreon and give us a little pledgey pledge. You can cancel anytime as well. I know times are tough, but that's why I'm doing this, because I I need legal fees. Thank you for your support. That's all.
Thank you for your kind attention. Now, despite popular demand, we return to the podcast.
Just from a statistical point of view, there has to be the worst person that lives in the house, right? When you have other people in the house, you can go, man, that person is the worst. But when you're there in the house by yourself, you are the worst person. You indulge in your worst tendencies. There are things you will do by yourself you will never do when another person is there. I live alone in my house, and I'm naked in the house an unacceptable amount of the day. Like, I'm way too comfortable, like, with my butt kissing the air for, I would say, I don't know, as long as there's daylight, my ass cheeks are hitting the breeze. And this is like, imagine a place in your house, a nook or a cranny, that you can imagine a human butt being there. Not the ceiling. But like, if you can envision a butt being there, me. That's me, that's my butt, I've been there. So if you come to my house and you are like imagining the layout, just imagine me and my butt. Just free cheeks out there. I would never do this if any other person is living in the house. I'm living alone. This is why I'm out there. I'm out free balling. And that's not a thing I should be comfortable with. You know how our behavior affects our thoughts and affects our speech and whatever we behave, and then what we do affects how we think and what we say, right? It is not helpful for me to always be used to my butt being out there al fresco, because, you know, I will be uncomfortable wearing clothes, and that's bad, because I need to go out and interact with the world. That's not cool. Also, you know, being alone means I get to indulge in my basest instincts. Meaning, like, if I'm trying to focus on doing some deep work, but then in my research I come across an article that has a picture of an actress or an actor or whatever, a person that I like and attracted to, and I'm like, man, this is making me slightly horny. Let me get rid of this horny right now. And then I do it. And nobody is going to stop me. I can make as much noise as I want. And I can be as locationally inappropriate as I want. Picture a place in the house where there's a butt. Where there can be a butt. I've probably jacked That's not true. I don't jack off in random places in the house. But I could. An earlier, much younger, much more experimental sexually version of me, think 9 or 11, would have rubbed his pee-pee everywhere. Everywhere. And that's not something I want to develop, you know, solid neural pathways about. I don't want my brain to Pavlovianly, like, when you're living alone after a certain amount of time, the need to masturbate is like, what does that mean? What is it? It's like, it's just scratching the itchiness of horny away. That's what it is, you know? And just like being itchy, you're not always supposed to scratch everywhere in your body in public. Similarly, with the itchiness of horny, you can't just do that whenever you want. But I can, and I indulge it sometimes. I indulge in that freedom sometimes. And if I do that too much, I might have to, you know, eventually later go out in public, go into the real world, and then I accidentally see something sexy. And then what am I supposed to do? Jack off right there, out right out in the Penang Bridge? That's not tenable. So this is a con. Just living alone is bad because I should not indulge all of my basic instincts all the time. It's bad. I become the shitty housemate if I don't have shitty housemates. But, you know, I don't have shitty housemates. You know, it's a pro and a con. Another one is pride. Meaning, when you live on your own, right? Everything is because of you. Meaning, the decor is yours. The creativity you express is yours. There's a reason why furniture collecting is a mechanic in a lot of cute, cozy video games, because it is satisfying to be able to curate your own space. Even in Zelda Breath of the Wild, you can like make a little town, you can collect stuff and like put stuff, you can decorate a space. And decorating your own space is really satisfying. You get to express who you are, you get to be reminded of the things you love, you get to help yourself get motivated to do things. You get to show love for the people you like, maybe with photos of the people you love and whatever. And this is all up to you. You can creatively express this. This is the same thing you feel maybe about your room, even if you don't live alone. Perhaps you are given the freedom to decorate your room however you want. And that is a good feeling. But this time, for an entire house, you get to set up how the kitchen works. You get to set up how the workflow for the laundry. You get to set up how your bookshelf looks like. You can get rid of books you don't like. And just you get to really express yourself. And creatively fulfilling. It is you are proud of the space you make for yourself, right? The bad thing is you are now faced with the consequences of those decisions. Everything is your fault. I think this sounds the same as like point number one, but yeah, everything's your fault. You can't blame other people. You have to look at your own creativity and go, fuck, that's me. Ugh. There's no way to sort of dissipate blame. Don't dilute blame. It's like, oh nah, it's all me, everything's me, ugh. And it's very easy to fall into the spiral of, you know, if you indulge your thoughts, this is again a little slice of point number two, and you don't step out of yourself to kick yourself out of your own bad habits, you're just gonna see lame ass things in your house and feel bad about it, and then you feel demotivated about fixing it, and then you don't know how to get out of your own brain because you're in your own brain and it's bad. So, yeah, I don't know about this point. Maybe it's the same as point one. Anyway, this next point is different. This is about quiet time. Being alone means it is great if you're introverted, if you gain energy from being alone, and if you want quiet moments, it's the best. Quiet time is important to get to deep work. Quiet time is important just for your own peace of mind. If you want to sleep, you need quiet time. I used to live in a house not far from where I live now. The worst roommates ever. And they're not actively bad. They're just bad because they are themselves and I am not them. This one dude, my schedule for to go to work at the time was I have to reach the office at 10. So I get ready at like 8. This person has an alarm that he sets for 5:30, 5:45, 5:50, 6:05, 6:10, 6:15, and 6:30. I know because I had time to count, and every single weekday morning this asshole just doesn't wake up to his own alarm. I wake up all that time, all those 6-7 times, and I'm like, this guy is an ass. Why am I listening to your alarm? I do not need to be up this late. I don't need to be up this early. So quiet time is important. You get to control your quiet time, and some people get energy from being alone, and I sometimes need that. The con is it's not loud enough and it's bad for extroverts. Fun fact, I am not really full introvert. I don't think I'm introvert really. I'm extroverted more than I'm an introvert. that's why I lean towards improv more than stand-up, because I want to not be alone on stage, and also partly, you know, why all of my endeavors thus far is all with other people. Mental Pacha was an endeavor with another person. Pinball Monkeys is an endeavor with multiple people. I'm rarely out as my own person, as me. Welcome to me. Don't do that, because I like the energy of the audience, and I feed off of other people energy wise. The reason I need quiet time is sometimes I'm overstimulated and I'm not fully a person. Like, I'm so like bzzz, I can't process things outside of, I'm like a little hyper focused or whatever, overstimulated, I guess, and I need to calm down, and that's what I need, my alone time. But by and large, I'm an extroverted person, and living by myself, especially hermit mode in Ramadan, oh boy, it is hard. But thankfully, I get to go out and, you know, join the congregation in prayer, and that gives me the energy of other people. There's this thing about not being loud enough. One of the most soothing noises for me is a core memory from childhood, where I remember I would be in Singapore, close to Raya, and I would be asleep, but half awake. So it'd be dawn, and the house is dark, but the light from the kitchen is on. And I would hear conversation happening, and the conversation is a familiar voice. And it's very calming to me. It's very soothing. Very soothing. Like, if I can replicate that, or like if I get close to that sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm in situations where I wake up at dawn and I hear conversation and soft lighting. That is super soothing to me. And I think part of it is because when people are talking just far enough that they are trying not to bother you, but loud enough that if you try, you can make out what they're saying, it means they are safe. They are safe in having a conversation, an intimate conversation, because it's like two or three people. It's not a performance in front of 20 people. It's not a conglomerate. It's not a confederacy of people talking over each other. It's just a quiet conversation between two or three people. They feel safe talking. They feel safe to be intimate with other people in your house, and also they don't want you, they're not talking about you because they're not consciously whispering or what, which means I'm safe with them, and that level of safety is hard to simulate or create by myself, because I'm alone. I don't feel safe. I just don't. Some people have suggested, oh, just play a comforting movie or a series that you like on the television. I'm like, what? Or a podcast or whatever. What podcast or a TV thing? Play it in a different room? Yo, I write those. So I can't half listen and not pretend to also write notes for it. It's gonna be super distracting for me. So that's never worked. And these people aren't my friends. These are strangers. These are professional performers. They're doing what they're doing. And I'm over here trying to do what I'm trying to do. So it cannot be replicated, that level of feeling safe because there's other people in the house. That's not replicable. But it's the same thing. Meaning the pro is you get to be quiet, but the con is you have to be quiet. Or rather, it might be too quiet. You know what I mean? There's this other thing I found that is only a con. I don't think there's a pro here. Maybe you can correct me. But I don't think there's a pro in this part. It's all negative. And this is, when you live alone, all of your feelings are larger and bigger, more important, they're more severe. because you are the person, you are the only person in the house dealing with it. Here's an example, right? Let's say you got home, you're doing your chores, and then let's say you scrolling through your email. Do you people scroll through the emails? No, you're checking your emails, and then you find out you've been rejected for a job application that you really need, and then you go, "Oh man, this sucks so bad." And now what has happened is everybody in that house has been rejected for a job application they wanted. Whenever you go, wherever you go in that house, the room you're in has somebody who's been rejected by a job application, and that is heavy. Everything you do is because you got rejected. The music you choose is because you got rejected. And the feelings are heavy, and that's the only thing that's being talked about in the house. It's terrible. It feels heavy. But if you're in a house with other people, and you're like, "Oh man, my job, I got rejected by a job, but I got rejected for the job I really want." Then you tell somebody, and then they go, "Ah, yeah. That's too bad, man. Anyway, I'm making a soup and it's going well." You go to another person. "Hey, man, I just got rejected by the job." "Oh, that's too bad, dude. Anyway, I'm going out with my partner today. We're gonna have soup." "Oh, cool." You know, there's like other emotionalities and other lives that you get to remember that are there. Your perspective on what you are experiencing gets shifted more often. So like, you don't get to just be you. You have the advantage of other people's point of view and other people's lives. You get to dip your hand into other people's lives for a bit. Like, if somebody else is happy and you're sad, you can go to this happy person and go, "Hey, tell me about how happy you are." And then you can borrow that emotion for a bit, wear that like a blanket over your wound of being rejected, and then you feel a little better. But if you live alone and you are dealing with an emotional injury, you gotta tend that shit on your own. What is this? I guess this is sort of a dissipation of emotion. Like, this is the misery loves company kind of thing. Except you're just no company, so misery is just miserable by herself, and it's not a good time. And I think that's I don't think that's a pro for that. Is there a pro? Is it positive that all of your emotions are bigger for you? No, this is the only one that is no pro. Because if you are having a good time, you also want to share that with other people. Nobody who is enjoying themselves, like, you don't get given the Oscar for best actress and then they mail it to you and then they go, "Yeah, congrats, man. We're not going to post it on the newspaper." There's cameras, they have a show, they play music, you get to talk to a bunch of people who respect you. And that's because joy is an infectious disease. Joy is meant to be spread around. So I don't think it's a pro, this one con of living alone. All your emotions are heavier, like literally heavy. Even joy is heavy. Suppose you want a job and you got it. What's the first thing you do? You want to tell somebody about it, right? Because you can't just carry it yourself. Even good emotions are heavy, and you really want to share it with others. And because of this one thing that is only a con, that is why I feel like living alone, I understand why like connection with others is the thing that helps people live longer. I forgot what the actual things are. There's like four things. Physical activity, what is it? Physical activity, nutrition, no, cardio, weight training, mental acuity, and connection with other people. I don't know. There's four things. But one of the four things is not like related to your physical attributes. It is your connection with other people. The more you are connected with other people, the more friends you have, the more time you spend with your friends, the better you are, the healthier you are as a person, and you live longer. This is why I'm glad I only go hermit during Ramadan, and I do have people I go out for sahur with, and I do have people I go out after Tarawih and spend time with, and I do talk to people outside of just you, listener. So, you know, and if you are worried about, if you are listening to this pros and cons and you agree or disagree, let me know. But whether or not you do agree or disagree, I hope you are finding other people to connect with, also, as you're listening to this podcast. Remember that it is such a gift. It is such a gift to love and be loved. And I'm glad that you are here listening to this podcast with me. Thank you for spending your time, your precious, valuable time, and some of you, your money, to keep this podcast going. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. Remember that in the cosmic scale, whatever you're doing is not really important, but it is important that you do it, because only you can do the things that you are meant to do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, I love you. Be kind, be good, and bye.